What, pray, are typewriters good for? We ask in this science show. Well, music, perhaps? An extract from a Boyer lecture coming up on why my typewriter still rules, though I've had to update and get modern and use an electric one. We start though with the Prime Minister's Science Prizes. We had three last time, and today we have two teachers plus one innovator. He was introduced by MC at Parliament House, Dr. Jonica Newby.
I'd like to acknowledge there are a number of state chief scientists here, and of course, the chiefest scientist of them all, the ever energetic Alan Finkel, runs on batteries even at night. Our next prize is the Prime Minister's Prize for Innovation. 30 years ago, a young dental researcher discovered a protein in dairy milk that repairs and strengthens teeth. Today, that protein, sold as Recaldent, is used by millions of people every day as they chew gum and visit the dentist. The inventor now leads the University of Melbourne's Oral Health Research Centre and travels the world working with a host of companies to create new products to further improve dental health. Products using Recaldent have generated sales of over $2 billion to date, and they've saved over $12 billion in dental treatment costs. But he's not finished on his mission to save the world's teeth. His team has also developed a test and vaccine for severe gum disease, which is now being commercialised. For inventing and commercialising Recaldent, the $250,000 Prime Minister's Prize for Innovation goes to Professor Eric Reynolds.
Innovation. How do you distinguish that from just straight research in your case?
Well, I think it's commercialisation of the research, but I'm glad you asked that because it still takes a lot of research and some good science to be successful with commercialisation. But I think the innovation award is for good science and commercial success.
And bringing it out when it is involved in such a delicate thing like your gums and your teeth and vaccinations.
Yes, it's taken quite a while, and it's the same road as developing new medicine. So we've had to develop manufacturing processes that you could get approval from regulatory bodies, do clinical trials to show that the technology actually works to get approval from regulatory bodies. And then, of course, you need companies to invest significantly in it. So I've been very fortunate to work with some great companies, and that all has to fall in place to be successfully commercially.
And for someone who grew up in the drill 'em and fill 'em days, when most of the dentists you saw turned out to be, actually I grew up in London, so practicing from Australia, and you couldn't tell whether they were mining engineers or actual dentists, but you didn't end up with much in the way of teeth there. For people like us, what kind of difference can your work make to the experience of dentistry?
Well, dentistry has changed, Robert, exactly. So when I was young, we were taught extension for prevention. So if you had a little bit of tooth decay, you took a lot of the tooth away to ensure that it didn't spread. Today, we use technology to reverse the decay when it's at an early stage. That saves the tooth tissue, which saves the tooth, and therefore people have teeth in later life. Modern technology now is with implants, but there's nothing better than the natural teeth.
What about vaccines?
Severe gum disease is caused by specific bacteria. We know that now. And we've shown that we can vaccinate against those bacteria. And in animal models, we've shown that we can prevent severe gum disease. And that's loss of the jawbone around the teeth. And also, these bacteria get into the bloodstream regularly. And so they've been linked with other things that affect general health.
Heart disease, in fact.
Yes, heart disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and recently dementia, where they cross the blood-brain barrier and can be found in the brain of elderly people with dementia.
Would I expect a dentist in the normal course of things to recommend the certain things that you've provided, or would it be only in exceptional circumstances?
So the idea is not to drill and fill, but to actually diagnose early and treat it, repair it. And so some of the products that are on the market and sold to dentists are specifically to stop the progression of disease and even reverse it. The Australian Dental Association and Australian dentists have really embraced it well. And so it's only now starting to take off in the US and Japan and Europe. So if they start to use it like Australian dentists, then it will be huge.
Is that why you think you were recognised?
I think that had something to do with it, because product sales have already exceeded $2 billion. I'd say that had something to do with
absolutely, because there is so much going on in the way of brain-led products and trade coming from Australia, and people do not know that it's of that extent, billions and billions.
Mm. Fortunate that the ingredient that's in these products is all made from Australian dairy farmers' milk in Victoria, and it's still made there and exported all around the world.
How did you think of milk in the first place?
Well, as a young academic, there was anecdotal evidence that frequent milk drinkers had low levels of disease, and so it was anecdotal, epidemiological, and needed hard science. So going back to your early question, it involved developing first animal models and then human clinical trials to prove that this technology actually would lower the risk of tooth decay. But interestingly, it strengthens other things like chalky teeth, porous teeth, tooth sensitivity and abrasion and erosions. And I think that's why it's been picked up so widely by dentists around the world.
Well, congratulations. Marvellous achievement.
Thanks very much, Robert. Thanks for your interest.
Professor Eric Reynolds, University of Melbourne. Next, the Prime Minister's Prize for Primary Teaching.
Tonight's winner is an inspirational teacher whose lucky students are just as likely to spend their science lessons in the outside classroom as indoors. They might head to the beach to assess marine debris or watch birds and record what they do. And last year, they got to design and build one of the first school-based butterfly gardens. They researched the species they wanted, came up with a planting concept to attract the right butterflies, developed a budget, and then I'm told to build the garden. They even got free run of the school credit card. Awesome. His lucky students also had a rare chance for a 6-minute window to talk to astronauts on the International Space Station, which I gather had more than one parent wiping away a secret tear. From Mount Ousley Public School in Wollongong, the winner of the 2017 Prime Minister's Prize for Excellence in Science Teaching in Primary Schools is Neil Bramson.
Now, it's just been a short time since you were awarded the prize. What's the feeling?
Very nice feeling. The acknowledgement of your peers. I'd recommend it to everybody.
Now, taking very young children out, these are primary school children, out into the wild, how do they respond to it? Have they taken their eyes off the screen long enough to notice it before?
I think most kids have. I don't think a lot of kids really savour the outdoors. They can't look. They need to be shown how to look and see. But when you get them out there and you're looking at birds and you're doing bird studies and they can identify a rosella, a crimson parrot or something, they're really connecting to what matters to them, and a whole new world's opened up to them, which is a beautiful thing.
What do they say about it when that happens to them?
Wow, what's that bird? And I say, look at your bird guide. And it's kids just enjoying being away from the classroom. They've still got the same boundaries, but it's a different opportunity for learning that is, to me, very important.
Now, do you have to be the oracle of all knowledge in this regard? You know, what is that bird? It is a rosella, it is something else. Or do you help them find out for themselves?
I will never be the teacher of all content and all knowledge, and heaven help me if anyone wants to do that role. No, it's very much about pointing them in the right direction. What are you seeing? What are the colours there? What sort of tree is it in? So we're giving them support. They know roughly the birds they might see in the regional local area, but it's that sense of discovery. And some students live in units and apartments. We've got students from overseas and immigrant families. They've never seen a cockatoo. They've never seen a rainbow lorikeet. And something that a lot of people would take for granted is not something that is taken for granted by others.
I feed them. Do you encourage feeding?
Not at school, but we hope the gardens and the nectar will do a good enough job for that. But, well, I must say on that line, we've got a noisy miner at the moment that is a resident window tapper and basher and has been for 6 months. It occasionally gets into the school, but it's very often seen tapping on the principal's window, much to his annoyance.
What about the butterflies? Where did they come from?
Basically project-based learning, getting the kids into doing a sustained project for 3 months or longer. All the kids can get in, so it's about them looking at what garden do we want, what plants do we want, what butterflies might we attract, where do we want to put a bench, how big's the area, let's do some maths, let's do some English, let's do some science, let's go and order the parts, let's go and build it, and then let's take some ownership of it, and then obviously over 3 months, 6 months, this process continues, and we've got a wonderful learning space, which can be used for just reading and chilling out, and we all need a nice quiet space to calm down, and I think it's as good as anywhere.
And that's the point, really. The surprise is, why isn't it happening in most schools these days in Australia?
It happens in some schools, I would say. There's a concern sometimes about getting out of the classroom. There is a security, it could be the technology, it could be something holding someone back. And I think if we can look around us, all we've got to do is look out of the window, and it doesn't matter where we are, everywhere is an outdoor classroom. And it's about how can you apply what you want to do, your maths, your English, your literacy, and just take the kids out to read, take them out to do their poetry. Just go and look at the trees.
Yeah. Walking to the Academy of Science, where we're sitting on the campus of the ANU this morning, and it's quite early, I was strolling along, and there in front of me was a tiny orange bunny, which is quite telling, because one of the prizes, the Prime Minister's Science Prize, Frank Fenner, and he was involved in myxomatosis. Yes. Of course, he tested himself. And, you know, all these 50-odd years later, there are still bunnies all over the place here. I've never seen an orange one before. But
no, neither have I. I'm looking for it now. I hope it pops out, and I want that photo. And I'm sure the kids would love to see an orange bunny, and we'll hook a few more scientists into knowing how does that happen.
Yeah, well, congratulations. And what do you expect to happen next? You know, you've talked to the Prime Minister, you've had all this attention, and this is the morning after.
I think it's taking it all in. It just makes you think about your career and where you might take your career next. But also going back to school and using some of the reward or prize money to build teacher capacity in the local area, because that is the number one thing, teacher quality, and we'll have quality kids and a quality future.
One deal before I let you go. Could you tell your class to listen to the science show and lots of primary school kids turn, if they've ever heard of a radio, and tell them teacher's on?
We will be hooking into the radio. We will be giving BTN Behind the News a miss that week, and we'll be listening to Robin and the Science.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Neil Bramson, Mount Ousley Public School. So back to Parliament House and Jonica Newby.
The next prize tonight is the Prime Minister's Prize for Excellence in Science Teaching in Secondary Schools. Our winner comes from a school that's had a lot of success in sport and music, including 6 Olympians. But now, thanks largely to the efforts of the man you're about to meet, it's also a force for science. As a physics and science teacher, he has seen an extraordinary 4 times increase in students taking physics, with many going on to successful science careers. And I know he's particularly proud of inspiring a lot of young women to consider science as careers. Chatting with him earlier, though, I could see that he's just as proud of generating a love of science in students who won't go on to tertiary level. Give me any topic, he tells them, and we'll make a science lesson out of it. From Kirrawee High School, the winner of the 2017 Prime Minister's Prize for Excellence in Secondary School Teaching is Brett McKay.
The night for me was so wonderful, hearing so many inspirational stories, seeing all those kids who actually had the opportunity as well to hear those stories and get engaged and love it from that point of view.
Yes, there's a whole bunch of young people who in fact were the Olympians who had performed so well internationally in the room.
There was also the BHB Billiton international students who actually went to America and actually did the science fairs over there, who won a number of medals over there in the room as well.
That's right, we've had them on the science show before. Now, on the one hand, we've got these stars, and on the other, you know, in the papers, it looks as if general standards are going down. How do you account for the disparity?
I think the top ends are actually going really, really well, but we've got to bring those other people and get their passion back in science, those younger students, not necessarily the top ones.
And how do you do it where you are?
Well, the biggest one that's really changed us was we sent 6 young girls to Lucas Heights to the nuclear reactor to do work experience last year. They weren't even sure if they wanted to do science. Now they're topping the physics classes and other subjects and become advocates for science, because we're telling them it's not just about the knowledge, it's about there's so many other things in science. They're actually telling teachers this is how you need to improve. So it's really giving the students the empowerment to do what they want to do.
That's a bit surprising, because if you go to an established outfit like Lucas Heights and a great big facility and professional scientists working on black box instruments that go ping and all very mysterious. What was it that captured their imagination, these young people?
It's not just the black box. Scientists are humans. They actually love that. And one of the girls said the other day to me about her 2 mentors, they're like my second mothers now. I can go back and see them whenever I like, I can talk to them. So it's that human element of the science. It's also that they realise that physics and other sciences aren't just what they hear at school. It's all about the environment, it's all about medicines, it's all those other fields where science is used that they didn't realise.
Going out into the real world.
Going out into the real world, seeing it being applied, seeing that questions haven't all been answered, seeing that they've got an opportunity to actually have a career in science. And if they make a mistake, they can change their career later on. And that was one of the other things that really surprised them, is how at school it's physics, chemistry, biology, earth and environmental. When you go out there, it's all of them working together. And that's really surprised them.
The one thing about jobs, if you study science, you don't necessarily have to become a scientist. You can become all sorts of things. Half the people I know went on to other professions. Even in finance, they did rather well if they did science.
Oh, like I did industrial chemistry as my first degree out of university. And so many of those people who I did that degree with ended up in things like business management. So it's not about the knowledge, I keep saying. It's about how you think. Scientists have that wonderful way of thinking and cutting through and getting to the problems and solving it from there.
So when you've got a school which has rules and has a curriculum, how do you get the space and the permission to be so flexible and to be outside the classroom?
I'm really lucky with the principal. The principal's really said, since he came here a couple of years ago, do what you want to. Curriculum is a real problem. It is about trying to work with it. And in the senior years, it's a lot harder to actually spread it, and which is why it's so important in the junior years to get that passion going in 7 to 10 when you've got more freedom. We've got a great team of head teachers. So coming up in November, we've got a forensic challenge where 6 students from each school compete against each other to solve a crime. They spend the whole day doing that. And it's getting those things into the curriculum at the stage where it makes a difference so that when they get 11 and 12, they've got that desire to start with.
So if you're flexible and you're adventurous in the beginning, it helps the actual straight curriculum as well.
And very much so. If you've got a desire to learn, you're going to push yourself. You're going to do it. And also with the curriculum, in 11 and 12 now, there's actually 2 wonderful new courses coming into New South Wales. One which is investigating science, which is all about the scientific method. And it's convincing people that just doing the scientific method, learning how to think, makes so the kids are going to love it. And the other one's extension science. They actually have to do a very major scientific project where they're going to be looking for mentors within the scientific fields and do their research and actually publish that for their actual major project. So it's exciting things coming in the next couple of years.
Terrific. And so your message for the rest of the teachers in Australia is there's a chance to do difference.
There's a chance to do the difference, but there's also really important to work with your professional associations like ASTA, because they are where you pick up all these ideas and you get to spread them and you get to share them. So being actively involved is really, really important.
ASTA being the Science Teachers Association.
Yes.
Thanks and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm really proud of everything and of the kids and everyone else who's supported me in this.
Brett McKay from Kirrawee High School. And those were the Prime Minister's prizes for this year.